have tuned in to Talon Mark's Campus News Hour on WPMD.org, Cerritos College Radio on the net, bringing essential student body information, news, sports, and the arts to the entire Cerritos College campus community. Here are your hosts, Campus News Hour Director Tito Benavides and Managing Multimedia Editor Lucia Sarabia.
Today is April 11th, 2012. Welcome to the 12th edition of Talon Mark's Campus News Hour for the spring semester, bringing you news and information campus-wide. I'm your host, Tito Benavides.
And I'm Lucia Sarabia.
Good morning, Falcons. Campus News Hour welcomes the Chicano Latinos for Community Medicine. It is a club that is pretty much started as the Chicano Club, and I want to welcome both of my guests today, Myra and Judith. Can you give us your full names and your majors?
Yes, of course. My name is Myra Salinas, and I plan to major in health science.
And my name is Judith Pena, and I'm majoring in biology.
Bravo, bravo. Now, there's been a lot of situations, a lot of hurdles that you guys have been coming up on as the Chicano Club. Now, there's a... From what I've been reading on the information that I've been given, you have a problem with the ASCC where they messed up some paperwork and you guys could not go to the Stanford Medical School, the LMSA conference?
Yes,
that's correct.
Now, is that the biggest thing that's on your mind right now? Because it's too late to go to the conference. The conference is over, right?
Yes.
But did you want to bring attention to this so it wouldn't happen again? Or?
Yes, we do want to bring attention. We don't want any other club to go through what we went through the process of going to every meeting and not getting our proposal through the Senate and not being able to go to this conference that was really, it's like a traditional conference that we always go annually, and it was not able to happen, unfortunately, this semester.
Now tell us about the conference. How would it have benefited you guys?
This conference basically gives our members a chance to network, also to just develop, find mentors and find any kind of internships available. And it kind of gives a push to our members saying like, hey, it's motivation for you like to just go out there and see how everything works out, interact with doctors, maybe possibly nurses and medical students.
So it's a medical event. It's pretty much a conference for students that are going into the medical field.
Yes.
And the focus is, you know, pretty much, you know, under-recognized peoples. You know, to go ahead and get into the into medicine instead of just the standard blue collar labor work, basically, right?
Yeah, Latinos. We want Latinos to enter the medical field more because it's needed, and there's a lot of underserved communities such as like Latinos, the African Americans, and that need the help they need to get, like medical help. So we want to push for more Latinos, like doctors, to go into a field like this.
And do you believe like Latino doctors would best serve their own community?
Yes.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah.
Because, you know, personally, my mom, she doesn't speak English and she speaks more Spanish. And so when she goes to see her doctor, like, it's kind of like a barrier. You know, like, there's like miscommunication. It's like, I would feel more comfortable if my doctor spoke my language and I could, you know, hear what they had to say, not through a nurse or anything. So I think it's really helpful because there's a lot of Latinos in California and we need more doctors.
And even if like you take a relative in that does speak both languages, it's hard to get the medical terminology across, basically, right?
You
know, because you really aren't familiar with it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why pretty much it would help to have somebody that's from the community that is versed in all that, you know, in medicine.
Yes.
Yeah. And it'll relate to the patient more.
Are you both pursuing medical careers?
Yes. Well, okay. I'm pursuing, I don't want to become a doctor. I actually want to become a physician assistant.
Okay.
And Judy wants to become...
Possibly a physician and work, like, in family medicine and everything, kind of like...
Like a general practitioner?
Yeah.
A GP? Right on.
Yeah.
Now, are you headed for that right now? I mean, are the classes you're taking in concordance with going into the medicine?
Yeah, I'm starting off. I'm starting off in, you know, all the necessary classes. I need to get them done and transfer out, possibly to UCLA, or hopefully...
What exactly went wrong with the ASCC, actually?
It was just a lot of miscommunication, I think, in the Student Activity Center.
Now, something wasn't filed or something, right?
Yeah, it was our proposal.
Yes. Julio actually submitted the proposal to AJ, and AJ said that she was going to go turn it in to the vice president.
Yeah, vice president.
And the vice president didn't receive this letter. So... the vice president sent an email to Julio saying that he didn't receive it, and Julio was surprised because he gave it to AJ, and AJ gave him his word, I'll give it to the vice president, and that did not happen.
Now, are there, I know, like as we said before, like this conference is gone, okay?
Yeah.
Are there other things that are coming up that you can still participate before the semester is over?
Oh, yes. Actually, we have 3 major events coming up. The first event is going to be the CESA Chavez Blood Drive, which is going to happen on April 23rd and 24th.
Is that here on campus?
Yes, in the Falcon Square.
All right.
From 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So one pint saves 3 lives. We want more Latinos to donate blood because and within our community we have more Latinos and we need blood.
We need the O positive.
Yeah.
Is that what it is, O positive, or Latinos mostly O positive?
Latinos are mostly the ones that have the O positive blood.
And really? And is that the one that's universal?
Yeah, the universal blood.
So we might be having universal blood?
Uh-huh.
Man,
yeah.
Every vampire is going to be after us now, basically, you know. So is it going to be the Red Cross coming in and on working on your behalf or in with you guys, basically?
Yeah, we're helping Red Cross promote the blood drive around campus, getting the word out. We're pretty soon going to be posting up flyers and posters around school, so with maybe a flyer of Cesar Chavez's face around. So
right on.
Just remember when you donate blood, just write CCM next to your name.
Okay. Yeah. Are you guys going to donate blood?
Unfortunately, I'm underway.
Possibly. I don't know.
Now, what do you guys think that Latinos don't donate blood?
Actually, there's a good there's a statistics about that. It's because they don't know where to donate blood. Mm-hmm. And if we tell our community where it's going to happen, maybe more people are going to donate blood. And also, there's another fact that they're scared of needles. So,
yeah. Personally, I am.
Yeah.
That's why I'm not getting tattoos, you know. I mean, I got a tattoo of a freckle on my back, but that's as far as it goes. Okay, tell us more about the, now, have you done the Cesar Chavez blood drive before?
No, this is my first time.
But has the Chicano club done
this
before?
Yes, they have done it. Actually, this, I think last spring, we actually did the blood drive, and we won fifth place nationwide on United States, so we actually brought recognition to Cerritos College as a good place to donate blood.
Right.
So we're pretty excited about that, and we want to kind of be fifth place and maybe go to first place. It's like a friendly competition against other college campuses.
And everybody wins, basically.
Yeah. It's for the community. It's always going to bring back something back.
So fifth place means that you got a lot of blood?
Yeah, against, actually, who did we?
We beat out UCLA, I believe.
Yeah.
What was the most?
I think you guys beat out UCI, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and wow. What was the most, you know?
I don't know. I wish I knew, but it was a lot, though.
It's a whole lot of blood,
basically. Yeah.
Have you guys ever seen The Shining?
I have.
Okay, you know, that kind of amount of blood, basically. Okay. All righty. Now, I'm seeing that the name is CCM, Chicano Latinos for Community Medicine. Now, has that been, is that like a growth from the basic Chicano club that started in 69?
Yes.
When did it amend itself and become this? Do you know?
Yes. Well, actually, it started in ELAC in, like you said, 1969.
Right.
And from there, it went to UCLA. And then from UCLA, it started spreading to different UC campuses. And yeah, so it's just, there's different types of CCMs, there's different, like, from that, subgroups and so on. So it's really recognized around the nation.
Right.
And we're lucky to have CCM here in Cerritos because it has a lot of meaning because it was a fight for Chicanos
from underrepresented.
Yeah, we Latinos didn't have somebody to go to talk to, such as Latinos, and they were underserved, so the club is started because we wanted to fight for those who needed it and who wanted to become doctors in medical schools. And there was a little bit of Latinos in medical school. So
there's
that's
like
how.
Three.
Yeah, three. There's three Latinos in a medical school.
UCLA.
Yeah, and we created this club because
and that really doesn't represent the general populace, basically. To have three people that pretty much represents a bigger populace in the community.
Yeah.
Is an imbalance, basically.
Yes.
Big imbalance.
So we saw that as not fair, and we wanted more physicians to join CCM Latinos and just get the word out saying, hey, we need more Latinos to become physicians, and we need to fight for our people, and it's not fair what's happening. So it's changing. We have more Latinos as physicians, and we're glad about that, and there's still a little bit, there's lack of Latinos, but we want to bring that population of Latinos up.
Now, how far do you think we've gotten, or the Chicano Club has gotten since 1969? Has there been big steps too?
Yes, there has. Actually, we have, when we went to the LMSAA conference, when we were networking, there was a lot of people, doctors, who were part of that club. And they said that was great because it just brought so much to them, that knowledge and friendship and what they know, because they know that they're giving back to their community. So mm-hmm. It's been a lot changes.
Now, how did you guys realize your own medical callings? I mean, because that's a very difficult field to get in, not only to learn what you need to learn, but to deal with the everyday extremities that comes in with medicine. Now, how did you guys figure on this was what was for you?
Well, personally, my mom had an operation during the summer, and it was really intense. She had a tumor lodged in her brain. And
oh, wow.
Being around, the whole environment, seeing the nurses, how caring they were, seeing the doctor, what he did, it's kind of amazing to think that he actually took a tumor out of, so complicated, lodged in her brain. And I just think it's, really incredible just to do something like that for a living. It's just, I don't know, it just gives meaning to my life. So
Are you guys the first generation in your family to pursue, this field?
Well, I have about four sisters before me that have already graduated high school, and two of them already graduated from the universities, and one of them still here in Cerritos College. And, yeah, I'm going to, follow in their steps and get a degree also.
I believe, for myself, I am. Grandma was a nurse, and she's from another country, Peru. So I came here, so I'm gonna be the first one.
How does your family feel about that?
They feel really proud of what we're doing and the things that we're going through here, because they know it's a lot of dedication. And sometimes they feel left out because we can't be with them and we have to focus on our studies. But in the end, it's gonna pay off.
It is,
and I'm really excited about that.
Now, Doctors Without Borders, I mean, they go to South American countries all the time. Are you guys connected with anybody or affiliated or have met anybody that has worked with Doctors with Beyond Borders? Have you heard of that program?
Actually, no.
Doctors Beyond Borders is a program where doctors go in groups to very poor areas, very, very third world areas, and provide free medical help, not just standard help, but surgeries and stuff. I mean, they go in and bombard a community, and people come from surrounding villages basically for that now.
I think our president, Julio, I think he did something like that. He actually,
I think it was Honduras.
I think so. He went over there and he told the club that it was a lot. They went to different villages, as you mentioned, and they just went out and gave a lot of medicine. And basically, they were not medical students, but they were volunteering. And the people saw them as doctors because they didn't have that much they didn't have much help. So they were really grateful for that. And that it's awesome that they offer that program to students.
Would you guys be so compelled to do something like that?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather go somewhere where more doctors are needed than here. Because, there's plenty of doctors here. But, we also need some down in Mexico, down in South America. All those third world countries, it's just really needed.
Yeah.
Now, in the surrounding areas, we do have a couple of hospitals. Not anymore on Pioneer Boulevard here in Artesia. That's gone away, and now it's the 99-cent ranch market or something like that.
Oh,
right?
Really?
Yeah, but we did have the Mullican Medical Center on Pioneer Boulevard here in Artesia. But I guess the only hospital that's closest to us is the one over there in Hawaiian Gardens, and we have one in Los Alamitos.
Oh, okay.
And then we have. Would you be considering after graduating working in your local area here, or are you guys looking beyond this area?
I'm looking, to work somewhere local, and also as well as somewhere outside. I know that just based on our community, we have a lot of health fairs and where a lot of people go and just to get a consultation with a doctor. And if that demand is high, then I would actually stay here and locally and help the community in any way.
Now, the blood drive, let's go ahead and get back to that. Okay. Now, all right, the date on that is April 23rd and 24th, 2 days, right?
Yes.
And of course, they're going to offer yummy goodies and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, a t-shirt, snacks after you donate blood so you won't faint. And water, of course. So it's a good thing. Like, they recommend to drink more water before you donate blood because that actually pumps up your veins. Mm-hmm. So it'll be easier.
And don't get tattooed until after the 24th, okay, you guys? Because you can, if you have a tattoo, you can't donate within 12 months or something like that. That's the deal. So
yeah.
So just let everybody know. Hold off on the Tweety Bird on your back, okay, people? You know, really, you know. And what's the goal here?
For our club?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we want to just let everybody know on campus of Cerritos that we are CCM and we want to help our community in any way in medicine, where it's either to just to like bring the word out saying, hey, we need people to come in into this profession and we will give you any, like, we'll be your mentors and we will help you in any way. We can give you guidance. We want you to, if you're doing bad in your class, we want to help you exceed in academic excellence. That's the most important thing we want from our students.
Yeah, think of us more like a family. You know, we're there to help to each other, and we're really close right now. So, you know, we're welcome to any new person to join.
Bravo. So the club is open to anybody, basically.
Yeah, anybody.
Oh, cool.
It doesn't matter if you're not majoring in, you know,
in
science,
medicine.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, we have a lot of we have like maybe three members who actually are not majoring in the medical field, but one is doing like culinary arts, and she just wants to help our community, and that's really touching. And I really look up to her because she wants to do this.
Now, how does someone who's not majoring in medicine benefit from this club?
Well, in a way, they will know what's going on in the health field, what's going on, like disparities, health disparities. And so they can tell their families and just spread out the word. Like if you tell one person, maybe that one person will tell three people and letting them know like, hey, there's not a lot of blood in the blood banks and we need blood. And maybe she can actually spread that word out.
Yeah.
And she may know the process of people who go through how to become physicians or nurses or pharmacy techs. And if she knows anybody, she can give advice, which is a good knowledge to have.
Okay.
Now, we do have a nursing department here at Cerritos College, right?
Yes.
Are you're encouraging those folks to go ahead and join up your club, too, or do they have their own club?
I believe nursing has their own club, but we don't mind if they join our club. It's like we said, we just want to focus on our community, any way of helping our community, even if it's small, like going to maybe like Leukemia Society and volunteering, or just mailing out envelopes in any way. That's because it's helping spread out the word that, hey, we need support for this society, Leukemia Lympho Society, or we need leader, like for the Girl Scouts, we need some volunteers, mentors for these girls because they need somebody to look up to, even psychological or just emotionally support, something like that.
Now, have you reached out to the nursing club? I think that would be beneficial.
Yeah, maybe. Well, we haven't yet. But we plan to reach out to the pre-med club, nursing club, and dentistry, all the different clubs out there. That would be great. Maybe we're affiliated with Project Hope a couple semesters back, but now we're not. But we still communicate with them and so forth.
Now, have you guys toured any hospitals at all as a group?
Not right now, but in the future we will have. You want to take that?
We have like connections to volunteer, like Project Hope. You know, a lot of us are involved in Project Hope, and we get, you know, emails and stuff about volunteering around the hospitals, like St. Francis and everything. But right now,
nothing in the plans, but something that you might consider later.
Oh yeah, in the future for sure. There's a CCM club in UCI. And we actually met up with them in the future, maybe next semester. Maybe we can have a medical tour campus at their school, which will consist on hands-on skills, like suturing, maybe taking the blood pressure and stuff like that. But that's going to be in the next semester probably. So we're looking forward to that.
Would you guys consider having like a speaker, like an established physician, come in that is like Chicano?
And oh yes. Yeah.
I mean, have you guys had that done?
Yeah. I believe last spring, we did have a medical student come in, and he actually spoke to us about motivating us and what's going on, and it's just bringing our members, like just giving them awareness of all these facts and statistics. And we have actually did have a physician. She was the, she told us like she was the first African American to actually attend a medical school. And she told us the process and how it was. And our students asked her questions like, how do you get in? What do I need to focus on? How are the MCATs? How is your life? How are you able to pay off that huge debt that, you know? And she told us a lot. And she brought her niece, and we interacted with her. And it was very informative. And it was, like, really, it was okay, you can say. But she was a very great speaker. And we were lucky to have her to come in. I believe that it was, like, last week before spring break that she came in.
Now, people hear that when they're going to school, they have heroes in their prospective majors. Now, is there anyone in the medical field that, we're not talking about celebrities or anything, but somebody that you know that is, or somebody in history in the Chicano medical movement that has made strides in the in medicine, you know, that and that is that pretty much complements the Chicano community?
There's one, remember the speaker, Dr. Bautista?
Oh, his yes.
Story was
oh.
really inspiring.
Oh, yes. I forgot about him.
Take it away, Judith.
he just told us his story, like how he grew up in Mexico. He, you know, not his family didn't really expect, you know, for him to actually go out and become a doctor and move to the United States and just, and he's been like everywhere, I guess. And I don't know, it's just really inspiring.
Was that at the UCLA conference?
Yeah, the UCLA
conference. Yeah. We, our club attended the SUMA conference in UCLA, that's right?
Yeah.
And David Bautista did actually spoke to the whole conference kind of thing right there. And he, like she said, he's kind of...
He was involved in a lot of the political movements and stuff back in the 60s and everything, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so there was plenty of those, yeah.
Yeah, a lot.
So, I mean, I know when people come back that are alumnus, you know, and people that were, like you said earlier, were affiliated with the Chicano Club, do you feel that they really see the importance of encouraging you guys, and you guys take their words to heart?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
I mean, because when you guys graduate and when you guys are set in your careers, the people that are getting into school then are going to rely on you now. Are you guys planning on coming back and being those kind of speakers for
Definitely.
Them?
Yes, because in the future. And future medical students, they're going to be our colleagues, and we want to form a great relationship with them, and we want them to, whatever advice we have to give to them, it will benefit them the most, because it's better to have a mentor than not to have a mentor at all. We don't want them to be lost in the pathway. We want them to give them a strong step to step forward and know that they can do it. They don't have, there's no way of giving up. We just want them to succeed no matter what, and don't quit. Just keep going, even though like the path may be like not straight, it may be curvy or to the side, there's still a way to succeed.
Right.
Everybody's path is different.
Yeah.
We want to keep the legacy going too. We want to keep it going generation to generation.
Yes.
Now how about this, the Norwalk Relay for Life Challenge? Tell me about that.
Well, the Norwalk Relay for Life is a fight against cancer with the American Cancer Society. And well, the days, we're actually going to be our club. Mm-hmm. Our club's name is, our club's going to be participating. Our club, we just made our team name. It's going to be CCM Unite. Mm-hmm. So CCM we're pretty excited Unite. About that.
Okay.
And basically this relay consists of?
It consists of the Survivors Lab, which the survivors, you know, run labs, you know, to celebrate, like, their victory over cancer and everything. And then after that, I think it's the Luminaria ceremony during the dark, where everybody lights candles and bags and containing a name of someone who they lost to cancer or someone who they who are affected by cancer.
And those are the bags that are those the ones that float away, or are they the ones that are just held?
I think this time, since they're gonna put sand in them, I guess, or not.
Okay. have you seen the ones that float away?
Yes.
I was hoping that was that, because they look like jellyfish at night.
I think they do
that
in the Leukemia Lympho Society. Mm-hmm. For them, actually, it's called Light the Night. Sorry.
Light.
And we actually went to go volunteer with them in the morning, but we were not fortunately to attend the night ceremony and stuff. But they do that. They just light a candle and the balloons fly off.
Where's the Relay for Life going to take place?
In Norwalk. It's going to be on Cerritos, actually on campus in the soccer field. And it's going to happen on June 9th. And it's going to be a 24-hour event.
What time will it start?
I believe it's going to start maybe in the morning or in the afternoon.
Eight or nine, like 10, 11?
Yeah. And basically one member is going to run. Mm-hmm. But once that member gets tired, we each are going to tag each other saying we're going to walk or run.
That is intense.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the idea of cancer never sleeps. So people, you know, take turns walking possibly like the whole night. You know, the whole day, the whole night, everything.
Yeah, and there's other, we plan just to attend that one day, and there's other days too as well. But I don't have the other dates with me, unfortunately. I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay. But that's like, I mean, that shows a lot of strength. I mean, and a lot of unity, basically.
Yes.
Right there, you know, working together.
A lot of our members have gone, their parents were lost by cancer, unfortunately. And that means a lot to them, and we want to be there to support them. And
absolutely.
We found this way just to fight back against cancer. You know, we need more awareness, we need more funds going, more and more and more funds going to find a cure for cancer.
Bravo.
Would you say that the students, the members of your club, they're in the medicine field because of, you know, they've lost someone to a certain type of sickness, like a serious, you know, like cancer or stuff like that?
I think that's part of the reason to why they may pursue a career in the medical field.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I think they may want to help their community any way out. They have a passion just to help, just connect with people. If it means like helping them get well and just find their way of getting well and being there through the process, that means a lot to them probably.
Well, absolutely. If something comes and takes one of your loved ones, you're going to have a vendetta on that. And if it's cancer, you know, there's no better enemy to pick on, actually, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you know, I mean, this is something like, for people that have not lost somebody, fortunately, you know, to cancer, we really don't understand what we're going through. It's one of the biggest unfairnesses that there is in life, you know.
Yeah.
And you can shake your fist any which way, you know, and, you know, you won't be able to do anything about it. But this is taking a focused journey to getting rid of that disease, because as a human species, we have done away with diseases.
Yes.
We have done away with things, and it's been an accomplishment when it happens.
Yes.
And now we're finding different ways of actually taking out the genome that feeds the cancers themselves. So we're starving them out. You know, there's different ways of fighting this now, you know.
Yes.
And that comes with, you know, constant study. So the encouragement of, you know, these things aren't for naught, basically, is what I'm saying. You know, when you hear about these things, well, we still have cancer, we're still doing these things, we're getting a lot closer. I mean, we're closer to beating this thing than we were 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
definitely.
So I think it's, you know, it's very encouraging. Now, Cesar Chavez, for back to the blood drive.
Yes.
Does he have any living relatives that still take on his work?
I believe there is just.
Yeah.
I forgot his name.
Like, is it a son, or is it like a brother or something?
He say it was his cousin?
I think I know that he has some active family members, basically.
Yeah.
It'd probably be a good idea to reach out to them, see if they could come down for this
thing,
you know, because, you know, they'll, I mean, this is a college campus full of Chicano students. I think you'll have a very large, you know, leverage for getting that done, you know.
Yeah.
And maybe you can have some good words to say, basically, while, you know, encourage more people to donate blood.
Yeah.
You know. What blood banks do you know? Is it just a general blood bank that the blood's going to, or is it one for this local community?
It's actually going for the local community. They actually supply those hospitals that are short on blood supplies.
Wow.
So it's, everywhere you have a blood drive, it's usually for the local communities, like around the hospitals. They just don't give their supplies to the hospital.
And that, again, is April 23rd and 24th. What days do that land on? Do you know?
Actually, on Monday and Tuesday.
Monday and Tuesday. So everybody's here. Nobody has any excuses. You know, come and get your cookies or pan dulce or whatever they're going to have out there. You know what
and
I mean?
It's all day 8 to 8.
Eight to 8. There's no excuses, you guys.
No excuses.
spaces.
And you guys could have a place to sit down and hang out and re-blood themselves with cookies and orange juice and stuff, like that, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, don't worry. They're not going to be bored. We're going to, like, have conversations with them and stuff. And hopefully a lot of people can come and don't need as much blood, maybe another pint, maybe. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you don't faint, but that would be mean a lot.
Maybe you can go to Angie's in Norwalk and get some chilaquiles so you can be up to weight. In a couple
I know,
weeks, you know,
I should do that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that'll help you out and help everybody else out too.
Yeah, we're probably, we're still waiting on what we can do. Like, maybe we plan to give out something.
That would be perfect. Well, I'm going to be there, you know, I mean, you know, I'll do anything for cookies. So, you know, goodbye blood for a little bit, you know what I mean? But, you know, I'll be there with, you know, participating because I think this is really important.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Like, you got it.
Thank you.
I expect you guys to be there, too.
One last question. Mm-hmm. How much do you have to weigh?
Oh, you have to weigh, I believe, 110.
At least 110?
And over.
Oh, okay.
110 and over.
I unfortunately weigh under that, so I can't.
I got that covered with my left leg, so I'm okay. You know? We're good with that, you know.
Yeah.
Now, please invite people to join your club.
Yes. Yeah. If anybody's thinking about donating blood, bring a form of ID. I forgot to mention that.
Okay.
Always bring a form of ID.
So will a student ID cut muster on this?
A student ID, your ID, any form of picture of you and your name.
They prefer California ID, but a student ID will do?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What about those who are anemic? Does that matter or no?
Yeah.
It does matter.
They can't donate.
Just bring any medical questions before you donate will be answered by the nurses on hand, basically, right?
Yeah. We'll have helpers in the desk on a table set in front of the blood bank mobile, and if you have any questions, like medical questions, they will be helpful to answer it.
Now, I know I should probably be asking a Red Cross person this, but I'm going to ask you because maybe you do know.
Okay.
But let's just say, because in your case, you cannot donate blood for whatever reason. Is there any other way to help the Red Cross other than donating blood?
Yes, you can volunteer and help them, like just volunteer in the
registration.
Yes.
Anything like that.
Is the Chicano Club going to be volunteering and helping out that day?
We are going to be volunteering. Our members are as well.
So if anyone wants to join the Chicano Club today, they can volunteer for that day.
Yeah. Okay. We have a lot of available shifts that actually our next club meeting is this Thursday in social science room 312 from 2 to 3. If you guys want to stop by and want to help us out, that would be great. We'll be there in the social science room again, 312.
Now, does CCM have a Facebook?
Yes,
we do.
Okay, and now what's that? How do we get to that now? What's it called?
It's actually CCM.
Yeah, CCM.
CCM is for Cerritos College.
Mm-hmm.
We have two. Unfortunately, one was set aside and we forgot the password, but we have made another one. So
it happens a lot, you guys. Yeah. Anyone wants to get in touch with you guys, go on to Facebook, and it's /CCM. That should be it. Or are we just on the search, we can put CCM?
Yeah, you guys can put CCM. It will say Cerritos College next to it, and your policy is in the search engine.
Now, Julio is your president, right?
Yes.
What's his last name again?
Castro.
Julio Castro. Now, are you guys part of the... The vice presidency or
the board member?
Yeah,
What
is your title?
I'm public relations. So what I do is I'm in charge of making the posters and attending every ICC meeting, which the ICC meetings consist of club informations, like what's going on campus, and I inform the club what's going on, any available volunteer opportunities. So I'll just inform the club members about that.
Okay. And what's your title?
And I'm historian. I'm in charge of taking the pictures of the events we do and doing the artistic work on the posters and everything. So you'll probably see some of my work around school.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome. So you're going to take a picture when the needle's going in my vein and I'm going to screaming and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You can get an action shot?
If you want, I'll post it up on Facebook.
I think that'd be great. You know, I'm pretty macabre like that.
Oh my God.
Make sure you get a picture after he faints too.
Oh yeah. You know, when you start seeing me turn pale white, start snapping. You know what I mean? Because I'll give you a show. I won't be there, but I'll give you guys a show basically. We want to thank you guys, both Judith.
Thank you very much.
Myra.
Yeah.
Coming on in.
Thank you for having us.
And representing well the CCM.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And like, again, you know, this is Campus News Hour. You know, our responsibility is to bring information events that are happening on campus to the student body.
Yes.
So if there's anything else that is coming up, please submit that to us so, you know, we can take care of, you know, what we got to do over here on our end too.
I actually want to, we actually have a fundraiser this Monday coming up, and it's actually raising funds for donations for the Relay for Life. So we're going to have that from 9 to 2 at the Falcon Square.
What are you guys going to be doing?
We're going to be selling...
What?
Nachos.
Our
nachos. Pan dulce?
Banana bread, though.
Okay. No pan dulce. You know, I mean, you can still do pan dulce. There's enough time to reconsider that. You know what I mean? We got the place down on next to In-N-Out Burger. That's one of the best Mexican bakeries anywhere. So, you know, just letting you know. And I like those ojos de toro.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, just letting you know, okay? You know, throwing it out there, you guys.
Okay.
You know, I want my blood to be nice and sweet, so you guys, you know.
Just drink a lot of water with that.
Absolutely. You got it. Thank you so much again.
Thank you.
And thank you for bringing us, you know, awareness into this club because, you know.
Yes, thank you.
Everyone should know this. And like I said, go ahead and tune in because we're going to go ahead and re-air this on Talon Mark's Campus News Hour.
Okay, thank you.
No problem.
For having us and... This has been great speaking to everybody on campus.
Thank you so much for being
in.
Thank you. Alrighty, this is Talon Mark's Campus News Hour. We'll be right back right after these important messages.
I wanted to be in the military since I was a kid.
I served in the United States Air Force.
I served a total of 16 years.
I was deployed 13 times.
On my second deployment, 4 bombs hit my vehicle.
And at 19 years old, that's the first time I ever saw somebody die.
Coming back, I was raging.
I started having pretty horrible nightmares.
I would wake up in the middle of the night, sweats.
I started drinking a lot.
I felt worthless.
I guess I never recognized it in myself.
Eventually, one day, I just walked into the VA hospital and said I'd like to see somebody.
Don't suffer alone. You got to find that link with somebody that'll make you let it go.
It all starts with going to the VA. There's a whole community of veterans that just want to help you out.
It's for the guys who couldn't come back, so you owe it to them to live well, because they're not here with their families.
Visit maketheconnection.net.
This week's Talon Mark's Campus News Hour lays a heavy hand on who are felons on campus. Opinion editor John Gonzalez weighs in on why these once convicted people should be under intense scrutiny.
Felons should not be allowed to come to school along with the general population for the sole reason that they are dangerous people. All types of people can be found at school, the athletes, the hard workers, and the slackers. But among all of these different categories, where are the felons? Who are they? And should they be allowed to come to school along with us? Although there are a few good people out there trying to get their lives back on track, there are still those who are tempted to commit crimes. Should students on campus have to worry about being robbed or hurt by some thug who so happens not to have money to buy beer or his next hit of drugs? Students should be able to come to school and feel safe to roam around campus or the parking lots, whether it is at 8 a.m. or 8 p.m. If the general population feels that felons deserve another chance, then there should be some regulations set to make it harder for them to attend, such as later enrollment dates and a restriction in the amount of units they can take. Another plan could be to create smaller schools in which these felons can attend without having to make the general population feel uncomfortable, and that way people would know where these felons can be found and feel safer. People come from different parts of the greater Los Angeles area, some that are good and some which are best avoided, which brings in people that are more likely to have a criminal background. In general, not all people who were once convicts bad, and not everyone in the general population is a model citizen. Those who have been caught are known not only to be dangerous, but they can no longer be trusted and therefore should not be allowed near other students who are vulnerable and scared of possibly being attacked or robbed like in past cases on campus. For Talon Mark's Campus News Hour, this is opinion editor John Gonzalez reporting.
Online editor Patrick Dolly shares his life's ponderings and experiences. This week is focused on spring break. This is the life of a returning student.
Spring break was interesting, but I'm glad to be back at school. There's not much of a break for a man with a wife, children, and responsibilities. So while it is spring, it was nowhere close to a break. I told myself that I wouldn't think about school and I would focus on anything else, but that didn't happen at all. I found myself checking talonmarks.com several times a day and updating the site to reflect the most recent stories that had to be turned in. Getting caught up on my reading for my other classes was something that I needed to do also, so it was vital that I did that. I spent the bulk of my break researching leads for stories for Talon Mark's, and by doing so, I became more and more interested in journalism. So much so that I seriously considered changing my major from theater to journalism. I also spent some time communicating via social media, with other returning students that have expressed interest in starting a group of like-minded students. During a conversation with a fellow returning student during spring break, I was asked if I am having problems communicating with my classmates. That question sparked my desire to find out how many returning students feel the same way. So I decided to reach out to as many returning students as possible. I began by simply searching, checking the friends list of my Facebook friends, and taking it from there. When I began making progress in locating people, I quickly realized that I'm not as alone as I thought I was. There are more students around here that are returning students than I thought. I realized that a simple Facebook search was not going to be enough. And to get the answers that I was looking for, that I needed to do something different than keep my back against the wall. I have a saying that I live by. If you don't do anything to impact change, you have no right to complain. My goal is to do something to impact that change. Regardless of age, any student deserves the right to feel comfortable in the school environment. It is my goal to make a more concerned effort to ensure that students, especially returning students, feel exactly that. For TalentMark's Campus NewsHour, this is online editor Patrick Dolly reporting.
With the consideration of many a qualified prospective vice presidential candidates, Joanna Downey-Schilling was the cream of the crop and the best pick for serving here at Cerritos College. Editor-in-Chief Vic Diaz reporting.
Joanna Downey-Schilling was officially named Vice President of Academic Affairs on March 21st. Downey-Schilling, who is currently serving as Acting Vice President of Academic Affairs at Rio Hondo College, will take the place of Interim Vice President of Academic Affairs Marilyn Brock, who filled in for Bill Farmer, who resigned from his position in August. Downey-Schilling believes nothing is more important to her than offering affordable educational opportunities to students at our community colleges and is committed to finding clear and innovative pathways to help students succeed in their educational goals. Downey-Schilling has her plans laid out for her new position here at Cerritos College.
Take my past experience and apply it in new, different ways here at Cerritos.
Okay. And what is the one thing that you look forward to doing the most here during your time here?
Getting to know the students. It's a thing that I love the most and really make a priority.
Cerritos College President Linda Lacey describes the deciding factor in choosing Downey-Schilling over Santiago Canyon College's John Weisfenig and Cuesta College's A. Kathleen Greiner, the other two finalists for the position.
She had obviously the administrative experience and she had connections already with her community. We wanted to look at that, how her relationships were with the faculty, how much she had been involved in the accreditation process, which we're getting ready and gearing up for. Our visit will be spring 2014. You know, basically it comes down to what is the best fit at the time for the college. And I think that her strengths were her administrative experience and her working with the faculty and working with the various groups, and especially the strengths of what she had done in the community, working on various projects in the community at Rio Hondo.
One of Downey-Schilling's goals is to help improve class availability for students.
To preserve as many classes as we can for students. And so looking at creative scheduling so that some of the news that was shared today we can mitigate as best as we can so we can serve as many students as possible.
Downey-Schilling will begin her duties on July 1st. For TalentMark's Campus NewsHour, I'm Editor-in-Chief Vic Diaz reporting.
With the passing of the month of March, TalentMark's Campus NewsHour asks if anybody truly remembers Women's History Month and what it stands for. Assistant Online Editor Sarah Neiman reminds students that women share this world and affect the lives of everyone more than 1 month out of the year.
Almost no one knows that the month of March is supposed to be a celebration of women and everything they do in daily life and have done in history. It should be just as widely known as Black History Month, not just pushed aside and not thought of. It's hard to be proud of the accomplishments of women during this month if you have no clue what they have done or that this month is set aside for them. Granted, part of the problem is that it isn't as heavy in the media, but that excuse can only go so far. There's a point when you should stop getting all of your information from Facebook or the commercials that are shown for the news in between the sitcom you are watching. That point is called college. This month is for the women such as Maya Angelou, the author of Why the Caged Bird Sings, and Gloria Steinem, who is the founder of Miss Magazine, or your mother for giving birth to you. You would think that this is a problem only with men, but that is not the case. Women are just as guilty when it comes to sweeping this month under the rug. Cerritos College had events throughout the month celebrating women's history, with posters plastered all over campus. All students had to do was open up their eyes and see what was going on their own campus. The information is out there. People just need to use it. Everyone knows a woman, loves a woman, or cares about a woman. We should be showing our appreciation for all that she has done. Not only that, but our appreciation for what the women before her had to do to make sure she has the right to vote, own her own land, and get an education as well. For Talamark's Campus NewsHour, I'm Assistant Online Editor Sarah Neiman, reporting.
Education in the summer of 2013 and 2014 might not exist due to cuts and funds being diverted to the Cerritos College deficit. Many options were discussed, but no jobs will be lost in the short run. News editor Enrique Rivera reporting.
Cutting the summer sessions of 2013 and 2014 is a saving option for Cerritos College to accommodate for its projected budget deficit of $9.4 million. This was discussed in the budget forum held at the teleconference room on March 29. Vice President of Business Services David El Fatah, who was one of the main speakers at the forum, said that cutting the summer sessions of 2013 and 2014 could save up to $2 million. Cutting the summer sessions of 2013 and 2014 was currently the biggest saving option listed by El Fatah. Other options included were vacation payouts, cash in lieu, right-sized budget, indirect costs, layoffs, and furloughs. El Fatah also mentioned that the school has committed to having a summer 2012 session. Vice President of Human Services Victor Collins assured that unlike Long Beach City College, the school is not interested in laying off faculty as a saving option just yet. According to Collins, there has not been a decision at this point in time to say that there will be any laying off employees in the district. According to Collins, the savings for layoffs is yet to be determined. Associate Students of Cerritos College President Jasmine Ramirez expressed her concern for the laying off of employees. She believes it is an unfortunate cycle where staff is cut and which results in less resources for students. El Fatah explained to the faculty that were present at the forum that the next thing they can do is contact legislators, attend Capitol Day events, attend planning and budget committee meetings, and to vote in November. The next campus forum will be on May 22 in the teleconference room. For Talamark's Campus News Hour, I'm news editor Enrique Rivera reporting.
This has been the 12th installment of Talamark's Campus News Hour for the spring semester of 2012 here on WPMD.org on the net. We thank you for listening and would like to remind you to pick up the latest print edition of Talamark's at newsracks located throughout the campus.
We would also like to invite you to log on to Talamark's.com for the latest in breaking news here at Cerritos College. On behalf of the Talamark's news staff, I'm Campus News Hour Director Tito Benavidez.
And I'm Managing and Multimedia Editor Lucia Saravia.
Have a great day, Falcons!